Loving God, it's good to gather here as your people. It's good to set aside the time to intentionally come into your presence. We invite you, Lord, this morning to transform us. Come by your Spirit and animate our souls. And by your Spirit, would you help us to worship now? Amen.
Is there in the newborn cry? Is there in the light of every sunrise? Is there in the shadows of this life your great grace? Is there on the mountain top? There in the everyday and the mundane? There in the sorrow and the dancing? Such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. There on the wedding day, there in the very breath we breathe, your great grace. Then save for the rich and poor, save for the saints and for the sinner, enough for this whole wide world, your great grace. Such grace. From the creation to the cross, then from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. There in the darkest night of the soul, there in the sweetest songs of victory, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. Your great grace, oh such grace. Your great grace, oh such grace. Breathing in your grace, I'm breathing out your praise. I'm breathing in your grace, forever I'll be breathing in your grace. I'm breathing out your praise. I'm breathing in your grace, forever I'll be breathing in your grace. Breathing out your praise, breathing in your grace. Forever I'll be breathing in your grace, breathing out your praise. I'm breathing in your grace.
Lord God, you are the same in every season. You're constant through the storm and the difficulties that we face in every season of our lives. Lord, we know that it's difficult for so many, young, old, and any age between at the moment. Lord, may we reach out and find your grace. May we recognize, Lord, that you are the one ever-changing, never-changing, ever-constant Lord of all. May we build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Thanks. It's great to have live music again, isn't it? There's something different about it. I've never considered myself particularly a music person, and yet actually just sat in a room where it's being played. And there's something that stirs differently. It's a very different experience. And we long for that moment when we can all get back in the building together and all sing together as well, and not have to hide behind these things. But one step at a time, and we're always moving forward. And it's a great encouragement. But thanks for leading us in worship. Let's just take a moment just to allow the I don't know, perhaps the resonance of the music just to rest with us and to notice what it does to our soul, even when we can't sing, that we can somehow join with it. And that while we could break it down and it could just be about sort of, I know, vibrations and very physical, then I guess this morning I choose to notice that the Spirit of God is at work in that music and changing me through it. Yeah, the Spirit of God moving us in ways beyond words. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen. We'll have our readings.
First Kings 19. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The Ascension of Jesus, Luke 24. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
One of the challenges that I always face if I'm preparing a service is what on earth to talk on, because everything's already been spoken about. And at the same time, there's still so much more that could be said. But thankfully, we've got a bit of a church year. And we're kind of in the moment just before Ascension. For those that have neglected their church calendar so far, Ascension Day's Thursday. Apparently that means that we're 40 days past Easter and just 10 days before Pentecost, Pentecost being that to do with 5 and so 50. So there we are, a quick tour through a couple of weeks of the church calendar. Yeah, so I kind of thought, okay, I'll go with Ascension, but I find it one of those bizarre sort of stories, really, because part of me sits there and imagines this kind of divine elevator sort of coming down, Jesus stepping on and then disappearing into clouds, and my head says, ah, did it really happen like that? And it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, there must be something more going on. I'm not sure, because I mean all four the four Gospels don't actually agree on this anyway or relate the story, and yet you think this idea of a sort of a heavenly elevator and Jesus disappearing into the clouds, you'd think that'd be worth mentioning if it was something that they all had in common. That's kind of something though for more sort of Bible scholarly folk than me. But perhaps the greater point is that there's probably more going on than simply Jesus vanishing into some clouds. And I guess it's a little bit of that I wanted to explore. I guess for me, this morning, and if we did this same thing again next year, then perhaps I'd have something else. But for me, at the moment, there's something about Jesus leaving and that being announced and remembered, which makes me think Jesus reckoned we could do this on our own. That actually Jesus didn't need to stay. And of course we've got the story in 10 days' time, or 2 weeks' time, because four days still until Ascension. But in 2 weeks' time, we've got the story of Pentecost, and we sort of hear about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I think we can quite quickly jump from that place of, okay, let's replace Jesus just directly with the Holy Spirit. And we forget to stop and consider, I wonder what I'm bringing to this party. I guess if we think of sort of great teachers across all ages, and of course Jesus was called teacher very, very commonly in the Gospels, one of the ways that it was referred to. Teachers, if by the end of your teaching term, your students still need you, then something's gone wrong. And I wonder if with that lens, it then helps us to understand something different about the person of Jesus. Not that the teachings, not that the example, not that the person, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus is unimportant, but that there's almost a passing on. That the focus is changing from the person, the man of Jesus, onto the humanity that is leaving behind. If Jesus had defeated death, and it seems that he was no longer held by the same constrictions of sort of time and health and all the rest of it as us, then surely, if it was essential that Jesus stayed, he would have done. I wonder if Jesus was passing something over to us. And in some ways, I could be saying this, and people would be like, yeah, okay, nothing new so far. I get that we're the ambassadors of Christ. And yet, I wonder how it's reflected sometimes in our language that very much turns to God, Jesus, as the one that's going to fix things. I wonder how my prayers are often focused. Oh, would something that is beyond me come and fix that thing for me? I wonder if by the end of their teaching practice, students still need their teacher, whether something has gone wrong. I'm not trying to get rid of Jesus. I'm a Christian. Yep, Jesus is the inspiration for the way that I live, the words that I say on the best of days. There has been times where the words I've said probably haven't quite well reflected Jesus. But you know, Jesus is still the inspiration behind my life, and yet I think there's something else going on. What if my soul took the role of Jesus? What if, in terms of trying to understand a little bit actually what my soul is, I wonder if my soul is the touching point of heaven and earth. I wonder if I consider, and it's one of those twee things that we often say, that, yeah, Jesus lives within my heart. I wonder if I recognise that my heart, and obviously not that sort of blood-pumping thing, but that very essence of who I am, that created being as created by my loving, godly Father, the thing that makes me, the thing that is somehow in God and God in it, if that's my soul, I wonder if my soul is now that touching point of heaven and earth. In the same way that Jesus was seen as the new temple, Jesus referred to himself as being the temple. If you see this temple, it'll be destroyed and then rebuilt again in 3 days. He was taking on that role where he said, I am that touching point between heaven and earth. That place that had been the holy of holies, that place that had been up until that point seen as, yeah, that's where God lives on earth. That's that touching point. That is that most holy of places. Jesus said, I am that most holy of places. I am your representation of God here on earth in these times. And yet there's something, later in the letters in the New Testament, we're referred to as being temples of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we take that on board, the fact that if we're that temple, then there's something about the role of a temple being the touching point between the divine and the material and the earth here now. Could that be me? Could actually, when I've been told to become more like Jesus, I wonder if stepping into that role is ever what I considered. Or if being more like Jesus was simply, I don't know, growing my hair like Jordan's or something. Because Jesus has got long hair. Or always has, always. No, he hasn't, okay. Jesus was probably black, but yeah, hey. Okay, so becoming more like Jesus is something, I wonder if it's more than even saying kind words, doing good deeds. if there's something more about actually that bigger role, about the whole of us, that says, okay, I'm becoming more like Jesus. I want to become more and more that touching point between heaven and earth. I want to recognize that I carry the temple of God in me. And that means, because of who I understand God to be through the teaching of Jesus, that something special can happen through me. Now, of course, this could all sound very individualistic and kind of like, oh, right, so we're just meant to get on with this ourselves, are we? And, of course, the story of Pentecost is very much about, actually, you know, this is a partnership. But I wonder if sometimes our partnership is very much more, right, Holy Spirit, you do this, and I'll kind of stand over here and watch. God, would you please sort this out, and I'll stand back and watch. I wonder if there's something in the ascension story that is inviting us to say, actually, you don't get to just stand back and watch. You get to be part of that. The contemplative tradition is making a little bit of a comeback. People are recognizing that there's a resonance with the way that their body and mind and soul works, that actually finding those places of quiet and stillness is allowing them to connect more and more with God. Contemplative is to do with the temple. It's about entering that temple that resides within me. The contemplative tradition invites an inner work. And of course, the inner work is so much more difficult than standing back and saying, right, God, that's your responsibility. I'm gonna pray for you to do it, but actually when it comes down to it, that's down to you. The contemplative tradition invites that transformation of us on the inside, that we become that place where change happens. So change in me, but also change in the world around me. I asked Amara to read that that still small voice passage. It doesn't actually say what was said in the whisper. We've got the sort of the big earthquake and the fire and the strong wind and all that going on. And the story lets us know that God wasn't in those. I wonder if when we're looking beyond ourselves, that actually we're hoping that the earthquake really did have a little bit of God in it. That big sort of loud, bright thing, that thing that's other than me, that can take responsibility for it because it's a powerful thing. When it comes down to it and about changing the world around me, I want that earthquake to be the thing that's doing the moving and shaking. And yet it's in that still small voice. But not even a voice, but a whisper. And I wonder if a whisper doesn't even need to contain words. We gathered in a woodland last Sunday as a small service, just a group of six of us. And we had this passage, and there was something in the... We kind of read the passage together a few times, and then we went away to sort of pray and consider sort of the words that were there. What was it that God was going to sort of stir in our hearts? And for me, I sat there, and I listened to the river, and I listened to the birds, and I listened to the wind. And it was, I recognized that it was doing something significant to me, that it was bringing me a sense of peace. It was bringing me a sense of connection to something greater than myself. By the end of it, I experienced a sense of joy, a sense of hope. And if I stop and look at all those different characteristics, that sounds just like God. It sounds just like the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet I hadn't heard any words. All I'd heard was a bit of tweeting, a bit of splashing. And yet, as I allowed and I noticed that to do something inside me, I recognised that there was some transformation within me. I went away changed. I wonder how many times we actually stop and notice other than the words. I was very intentional about noticing this morning Graham playing the music and recognising that the music, that the not even the words of it, though the words can sometimes enhance it, but the not even the words of it is already doing something. It's already changing me. It's already bringing about fruits of the Spirit within me. I wonder if there's something about listening for that still small voice within me rather than always looking beyond for the earthquake, for the other, the great other that is God or Jesus or the Spirit on its own to do that wonderful thing, but to notice the work that they're all doing in me, that I can be part of that. I think more and more than when I stand at the front of a church, I'm thinking, I'm not bringing people answers. Actually, I want to offer that to you as a bit of a provocative challenge, if you like. There'll be stuff in there that you sit there and go, no, I couldn't do away with that. But I invite you to receive some of it. I think it's a shame if the person at the front has all the power. Actually, you've got that within you as well. I wonder when you take the time to notice what's stirring in your soul. Oh, that just reminds me. I read a friend's thesis this week. A lot of it was really good. Some of it I didn't understand. My brain's not big enough. And yet, as part of that, he had to develop a sort of a working usage of the words soul and spirit. I've already shared what his interpretation of the word soul was. It's something to do with that essence, that core of who we are, that place where I am in God and God is in me. But then spirit was that thing which animates the soul. And so again, it's not about an individual work. It's not that I must do all this on my own. Actually, it's an invitation that the spirit would animate that which is me and make me that place of meeting of heaven and earth. I came across this lovely little... If I put my head down to read, then everything goes deeper and louder. I'll lift it up. Came across this great little passage by my author of the moment, or the moment, the last year. It's been a Celtic author called John O'Donoghue. I'll share this with you. When you take the time to draw on your listening imagination, you will begin to hear this gentle voice at the heart of your life. It is deeper and surer than all other voices of disappointment, unease, self-criticism, and bleakness. All holiness is about learning to hear the voice of your own soul. It is always there. And the more deeply you learn to listen, the greater surprises and discoveries that will unfold. To enter into the gentleness of your own soul changes the tone and quality of your life. Your life is no longer consumed by hunger for the next event, experience, or achievement. You learn to come down from the treadmill and walk on the earth. You gain a new respect for yourself and others. And you learn to see how wonderfully precious this one life is. You begin to see through the enchanting veils of illusion that you have taken for reality. You no longer squander yourself on things and situations that deplete your essence. You know now that your true source is not outside you. Your soul is your true source, and a new energy and passion awakens in you. Don't believe that my soul on its own can do all this work. I recognise full well that it needs the animating life, the bringing to life, the transformative touch of God within it. And yet, as long as I look beyond myself to somebody else to fix things, to fix me, I wonder if I'm falling short of all that I've created to be. I wonder if there's a deeper, richer, more meaningful life available to us when we notice the wonder of our soul, the wonder of ourself and what we've been created to be. It's a bit of a detour from the ascension, but I'll leave it there. We've got a... It's kind of a prayerful song that it does get a little bit sort of more lively as part of it, and yet I invite you to hear this song, a little YouTube song, as a prayer. And then Leah's going to lead us in some prayers together this morning. There's a line in the song, and now I need to remember it again. As I was walking down here, I was like, it'd be easy to misunderstand that. What is it? I'm nothing without you. And in some ways, that could feel as though it goes against exactly what I've been trying to say this morning, which is, actually, you are everything alongside the power of God. But in that sense of we are nothing without you, it's referring to the dry bones, and I wonder if that is when we haven't yet allowed our lives to be animated by the touch of God's Spirit. I wonder if that breath of the Spirit is actually what changes us from being just going through the motions into being what actually is that touching point of heaven and earth. I'll invite you to listen to the song. I guess the contemplative tradition could be accused of being sort of too inward-looking, but I recognise that the more I look inwards, the more I feel connected to those people that are around me, the greater the sense of compassion it draws out, because I notice that actually you too have the presence of God within you. And I wonder if before we have some more words to lead us in prayer, if we just take a moment of quiet amongst ourselves to notice my own sense of connection with God, and to notice that in the people around me as well. It's not something that's going to be rational and done with our minds, but actually just sit with that sense of the Spirit in me this morning. So let's just take a moment of peace and quiet to do that. Always notice that silence with others is so much richer than silence on your own, which is the most bizarre thing, and yet it seems to resonate with that idea that there's an awareness of the connection with something greater than ourselves as we sit in silence. Perhaps the deepest form of prayer, but it's also lovely to bring other sort of thoughts and concerns and worries and thanks from around the world as well. So I'll hand over to Leah to lead us.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all of your gifts. We think of those who show us love, support, and care. We think of those who make us laugh and feel alive. We think of the planet and its beauty. We think of the variety of plants and animals and landscapes and weathers. We think of the way the planet sustains all of life. God, we thank you for all of these things. Amen. Loving God, we're sorry for all the times we fall short of the lives you call us to live, and for the ways some of our actions neglectively affect others. We're sorry for the times our actions have hurt others. We're sorry for the times our inactions have hurt others. We're sorry for the times our words have hurt others. We're sorry for the times where all our failing to say something has hurt others. God, teach us and strengthen us that we might live like Jesus. Amen. We think of places in the world where we long to see justice and mercy. We think of areas where plants and animals are harmed or killed, pollution and greed. We think of places torn apart by war. We think of people dealing with unemployment and poverty. We think of the people who are ill or dying. We think of those who are bereaved. We think of those whose relationships are breaking down. God, please inspire us and others to reach out with your hands of love. Amen.
Closing hymn is number 345, but I guess it's up on the screen as well.
Thank you.
blessing to finish. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you that you would know that still small voice. I bless you that you would hear this gentle voice at the heart of your life and know that it is deeper and surer than all the other voices of disappointment, unease, self-criticism, and bleakness. Amen.